Happy Bi Visibility Day.
Trish, that was yesterday. She goes away for 1 week.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast. We're streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, or at least I think we are. We are. Welcome to the show. We do stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access the live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com, or if you're one of our Patreons, you can actually watch our live video stream coming to you all the way from our Patreon website. You can go on Patreon and subscribe and also support to have access to that live stream. My name is Tom, and I'm your host. And as always, I'm in this room with my two best friends, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
So I have to say that last week we tried to, you know, get a unison version of The Dish, and it almost worked. You know, we had Heather Lee on the show with us, and it was cool. She was very great, gracious and great and fantastic, and thank you for joining us. And now,
yeah, thanks for covering my ass.
Yeah, she did. So, you know, Trish had a little...
keep her on retainer.
Exactly. So, you know, Trish had a little issue last week, and she had to leave, and she couldn't stay. And so we were like, oh my God, I have to call someone. We need a third person in here, because just Chris and I'll murder him by the end of the episode.
But you know what's great? It's so much cheaper, because when Paul Anthony was on the show, we had to keep a lawyer on retainer.
That's Trish. We just got to keep Heather.
That is so true. Oh my God.
Oh, somebody's on point tonight.
Mm-hmm, he sure is. No, but overall...
Why the hell is there a monster...
Whoa! Sorry, it scared me. So sorry to all you listening.
I go away for a week and there's clips all over my mic. I don't know what's going on in the studio. I can't keep dates together.
Well, sorry, apparently I have a boyfriend, so it's, you know...
Oh, so you want to talk about that? So yeah. Chris has a boyfriend.
I don't, and I don't understand how this even started.
Well, I don't know. Somebody just said something, and they said, I think Chris is dating someone. I'm like, so I wanted to wait until we... Well, actually, we didn't wait. We asked you before, but I'll ask you again. Are you dating anyone?
Yeah, 5 different textbooks.
I'm proud. Well, most importantly, because it's never been announced on the show, Chris is single.
I thought we talked about...
Great. All the emails are going to be for him again.
So I don't know. So I just heard a rumor and I just had to ask, but now he debunked it. So he is not dating anyone.
No.
He's single.
It's going to stay that way for a while.
I think it should.
I'm proud of you.
Super busy.
Yeah. Concentrate on your studies and get all that stuff done and then worry about life.
That's right. I ain't got no time for D right now. Only A's.
Need to find some time for D because she has been stressed as fuck. She needs to get it done.
Do you want to talk about that?
What do you want me to talk about?
Well, you said you're stressed as fuck. So what is going on? What's stressing you?
So last week I left the show because one, I was sick, but two, I was having a slight mental breakdown.
Uh-huh.
I've got a lot going on in my life right now. I have a new job. And the past, like, I don't know, 2.5 months, I've been working both jobs. And then we also have the podcast, and I also bartend part-time, and I've been trying to start a new podcast, right, which has kind of been put on hold. But all of it kind of just came to a head on Monday because of a fucking furniture company. And she just kind of went down for the count. She just went down for the count. She was crying a lot. She needed to go to bed. And she just shut the lights and crawled into her bed and cried herself to sleep. She woke up the next day and she was ready to go.
Good. I'm proud of you.
Everybody hits a breaking point.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. And the power in acknowledging the fact that you go through that is really part of the healing process, right? Being able to, you know, come out of that on the other end better, or at least try to, than you were when you went in.
Well, it's funny because honestly, you know, I've never hit that point before in my life. Like I've never hit a breaking point. I've always been the person that goes, does, achieves, and is, you know, I always get things done, and I've never necessarily failed at anything I've tried to do. I just keep trying until it's done right. And this past week, it was just like, all of a sudden, I was like, I have too much on my plate. And it was like, the first time in my life where I was like, I just can't. And I walked away and I felt really shitty. I felt like a failure. I felt like weak. And it took me a long time to realize that I wasn't weak. I'm super, super strong. But there is a point for everybody at which you just need to take time for yourself.
Hey, listen, if you apply enough heat to steel, steel bends and breaks. You know, the fact...
Are you calling me a man of steel? Or a lady of steel? I don't know.
Lady. Definitely lady. No, I mean, just think about it. You know, sad to think of it this way and to use this as an analogy, but no one ever thought that the Twin Towers would ever come down, right? These are steel structures that were made super strong. They were made to withstand extreme pressures, etc. But, you know, those towers came down, and it just goes to show you that everything has a breaking point at some point in its resistance, life, etc. And all you can do,
interesting analogy.
All you can do is out of whatever falls, you build again. And now we have, you know, the Freedom Tower sitting in its place. Obviously, we lost many people, and I don't mean to use that as a means to equate to what you went through, but just to let people know that, you know, the unthinkable usually happens. We never think that it would happen to us, right? But it does happen. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you acknowledge that it did and you took time to rectify the situation and to take time for yourself, that's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny, too, because I was talking to my dad, well, crying at my dad that night. And
oh, Carl. His dad, I love that.
Yeah.
And he was talking to me. He's like, you know what? And I was like, have you ever experienced anything like this? Like, I feel like I'm really going through it right now. Like, I've never felt this way before. And he's like, yeah, but normally I just yell at people. You are not yelling at people. You're crying. And I'm like, oh, that's because I'm a gay man. That makes sense. Okay. So I'm going through my breaking point in a different way than he did. But it was good to hear that, like, the man that I kind of hold above everything that I've always looked to is, like, that guy that's just always been able to do everything also has those moments. And he may punch a wall, and I may cry in my bed, but we all have our moments.
Of course. And, you know, and we're allowed.
I was born, he probably wanted to punch a fucking wall. He's like, oh, fuck. She's gonna be a mo. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Oh, give some of the pictures that you've shown or posted either on your Facebook or somewhere. Yeah, we knew.
Yeah, so did
those outfits.
Else.
Oh, my God. But anyway, so Christopher, how are you?
I'm good.
You good?
Yeah, I'm
how's
awesome.
School?
School's good.
School, yeah.
Yeah, staying busy. Then I was able to hang out with Liz this weekend, which was a lot of fun.
What did you get at the Big E?
I promise I will bring. I was going to bring it today, but I forgot to. I will bring it next week to show all of our Patreon viewers. Once we got there, I said I want to leave with a handmade flute today. So we finally, you know, we were going around, we had a couple of beers, we were eating, you know, eating some food, you know, of course. We were eating, I didn't eat too much, actually, like, I did not feel sick at all today. So we finally find...
the bathroom's still there, just
oh, I know,
case.
I left the door open just in case.
Yeah, I'm prepared. See that.
Yeah, so we found the village, and I found this woman who was selling handmade flutes, and her and I hit it off, we were chatting for a while, I was playing a bunch of them, and then I asked about the walking stick flutes, and she's like, all right, I really want you to try this one. I've been working on this one for a long time. And she hands it to me, and I was like, there's a unicorn on that one.
Sold.
Yep. So I played it for a while, and I got a unicorn walking stick / flute. Mm-hmm. I thought of you the whole time, Trish.
It was heaven.
Well, I'm going to name it Trish.
Chris is my partner now, so.
Do we want to talk about that?
Kind of, because the same pharmacy, we were both like, we're not a couple.
Yeah, it was the same pharmacy. No, it wasn't.
It was the other Walgreens.
Yeah, it was.
But
yeah.
Today I was there to pick up stuff for my partner, yes.
Yeah. I had prescriptions I had to pick up, and I just couldn't pick them up today. And Chris was on his way, and he was passing the Walgreens that I go to. And some of the prescriptions that I was picking up are a controlled substance.
Birth control.
Yeah. And so I had to call, mm-hmm. and I was like, hi, yes, I'm going on vacation tomorrow with my partner, and is it possible for my partner just to come in and pick up my prescriptions? And she was like, oh, yes, of course. He just needs to know la, 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 la. I was like, okay. So I call Chris back. I was like, you're my partner. We're going on vacation. This is the info you need to know.
I almost made myself crack up once I got there because it came out so easily. Like, I didn't even have to think of it. I'm like, yeah, I'm here to pick up meds for my partner. It just came out, and I almost... or just like innately like, I'm here to pick up meds for my partner. We're not a couple. Like the other side, like, but you'd be like, I think you need meds.
Oh, honey, you're going to need something.
Scrape a little off the top, you know.
So what was interesting, though, is the conversation that ensued after via text. So why don't you tell him what he sent you?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me pull it up. One second.
This cracks me up.
Okay, so I sent him the information that he needed, and I said thank you, and he said, anytime, she's finishing it up right now, a couple of minutes. I was like, okay, and then he responds with partner, LOL. And I was like, I'll give you a blowjob later, honey. He's like, thanks, got it.
And it's been a while, I might cash it in.
She is going on vacation. So.
Love is in the air.
Oh, she is going on vacation, and she's going to Nantucket.
She is. She's going mm-hmm. away for like 4 or 5 days next week.
Yeah, she's cheating on me.
Yeah. Already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
Hey, look.
Didn't even get that blowjob yet.
It's not my fault. I mean, like, somebody gives you a house to stay in for free and you need some space to just, like, decompress. You're going to take them up on the offer.
Absolutely. I would. I'll be right there.
You could always have a nice weekend at my house. I don't have a couch, but
there's always the floor. Floor, rug burns, legs up. It works.
No, there's something about Nantucket. It's like you go there and it's you just enter this bubble of like
money.
Well, yes. but it's like it's also like it's like you just kind of lose track of life and it's really, really nice.
Well,
like,
it's a very, very tight-knit beach community. And so that atmosphere sort of kind of resonates through everyone that's there, even if you're a resident or a visitor.
Yeah,
kind of fall in right quick.
So last time I was there, funny fucking story. So last time I was there, no, the first time I was there, we ended up staying an extra day because uh-huh. my friend got a little drunk and we couldn't make the ferry in time. Mm-hmm. But on the way back to the house to get our stuff together to try to make the ferry, we got picked up by this Uber driver. And Nantucket's really small. So this Uber driver, we had cocktails from the beach bar. And I was like, can we bring the cocktails in the car? And she was like, no, you can't. So then we, of course, chugged our cocktails, hence not making.
Because they weren't going to throw them
out. And then we didn't make the ferry. But that being said, we just recently went back. And when we were there, we called an Uber driver to pick us up because we were going to meet some friends downtown. And it was the same woman. She was like, oh, hi, guys.
No cocktails.
Did you make that ferry? And we were like, no, we didn't make that ferry.
We didn't make it because you didn't let us come into the car with our cocktails.
Exactly.
We did actually blame her a little bit. And she was like, why is this my fault?
Well,
it's irresponsible.
Why can't
honest.
You take cocktails with you inside the car? You're not driving.
It was her car. It's her choice.
Yeah, but it's an Uber. And, you know, you can. What if you had a coffee or something?
Well, a coffee is different than an alcoholic beverage.
You could have just said, I have coffee.
Yeah,
and you're like hurricane glass with a freaking like umbrella coming out of it and salt on the rim
in a solo cup.
Yeah, there was no hiding what I was drinking.
It's iced coffee. Yeah, okay.
Point taken.
It's iced tea. I probably could have gotten away with iced tea.
Yeah, I told you. So speaking of cocktails, Christopher, what are we going
to do that?
Yeah, we do have a show to record, guys.
Indeed.
What are we going to be talking about as far as a cocktail for today?
It's another sangria. This was from the choice of Trish. It's a sparkling pomegranate cranberry sangria. Perfect for pretty much all glam fall and winter weddings. This sangria adds an extra sparkle by swapping good old wine for some rosé all day. Of course, we know.
Yes!
Yes! With a warm and earthy hint of rosemary, the stunning sip is inspired by seasonal flavors. It's one of those batch-made cocktails, so you make it, I believe it serves 8 people, and it consists of 2 bottles.
When it's us, it serves 3.
Yeah, one pitcher each.
One.
Yeah, right? So it consists of 2 bottles of Prosecco, that's a great start, then one 375-milliliter bottle of Grand Marnier, that's where I'm on board, because it's now getting strong, 2 cans of pomegranate orange San Pellegrino water, 1 bottle of ginger beer, 2 cans of soda water, a quarter cup of cold-pressed 100% cranberry juice.
That he lost me like 20 minutes ago.
Absolutely delicious.
It does sound good.
You mix those all together, it's going to be very bubbly. You're going to be burping a lot. And then your fruit garnish, 1 pomegranate, 2 Christmas oranges, 1 bag of fresh cranberries, because, you know, cranberries are so easy to find, and then fresh rosemary.
What the hell is a Christmas orange?
I don't know.
Because I don't know. I've never heard of it.
We skipped that part because I could not find a Christmas orange.
I don't know what a Christmas orange is. Can we Google that?
We can when we're not on the air, perhaps.
I've always known about, you know, oranges and mandarins and things like that, or grapefruit, anything citrusy. But a Christmas orange? Is it special? Does it have ornaments on it? Is it red? Perhaps. I don't know. What is it?
I don't know. You hang it from a tree? I don't know.
So I think it's important to note, though, why is this healthy for you, Chris? Because I could tell you if you can't tell me.
Well, rosemary is good for the thyroid.
Yeah.
So, got to protect that thyroid. Pomegranates are...
a superfood.
Indeed, they are a superfood.
Omega-3s.
Cranberries are grown in water, so that's very hydrating for you.
And they're good for the urinary tract.
That too. And oranges, well, we don't know what a Christmas orange is, but oranges are good for your skin.
I think a Christmas orange is an orange that you eat at Christmas.
I would imagine so.
And it's, you know, rich on vitamin C, which is good.
Absolutely.
And keep all the colds away.
And there's a ton of Prosecco in it, so it'll definitely clean me out.
That makes anyone happy.
Fine. It's great.
Prosecco
ginger beer is good for the tummy.
Yeah. And Prosecco is like the, like, make you feel happy without having to take drugs kind of thing.
And Grand Marnier will get you drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go.
But really though, pomegranates are high in antioxidants and anti-inflammatory properties. They supposedly help with things like a heart condition, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, heart attacks, and congestive heart failure, as well as they help with fatty deposits in your body.
I need to start drinking a lot of pomegranate juice, evidently.
You got to mix it with pineapple juice. We know you like pineapple juice.
Yes. That's... So, speaking of that, we were at the bar last night, and So I was getting ready to start my night. You know, you guys know that I run karaoke every Sunday night at Partners Cafe. And so I went over to Nick and I said, Nick, can I have a bottle of water? And also, can I have a can of pineapple juice with a glass of ice? And his immediate response was like, who are you bringing home tonight?
That was my response.
I was like, what? I was like, I need a little sugar in my body right now. And then he proceeds to jump into... Are you pre-diabetic? And I'm like, no. He goes like, so then you're not bringing anybody home. You're not pre-diabetic. Why are you drinking pineapple juice? And I know why, because I've always said that, you know, pineapple juice makes semen taste good. And so therefore, you know, those that like to swallow.
So can we...
Should drink a lot of pineapple juice. Well, have their partners drink a lot of pineapple juice.
So we do need to get into the show, but since we're talking about pineapple juice, I do want to tell a story that happened this weekend. So we had our good friend Jose on the show, Big Jose.
That's right.
A little bit ago. A while ago.
It was last year during the Christmas time.
And he was working the door this weekend, and somehow the concept of cum rags came up.
Oh, Lord.
And he was talking about how he literally has a stash of cum rags, and he has like a clean drawer and a dirty drawer. I'm like, why don't you just put it in the hamper and wash it? But that's another story for another time. And he's like, but like, have you ever smelt your cum rags? I was like, no, that's disgusting. Like, why would you do that? He's like, mine smell like pineapple. I was like, what?
Good for him. I feel like most smell like a creek. So that's
most people say that semen smells like bleach.
I've heard that. I think it smells like...
Have you ever, like, smelt those trees?
Yeah,
like,
that's why I say
cum
creek.
Trees.
Yeah.
The cum trees, yeah.
We were... I remember in, I think my junior year in high school, we were practicing outside before playing at the Big E, and we're finishing it off, and right when our band teacher, they have a bunch of those trees, and the wind is gusting, and right when he cuts the band off, one of the drummer goes, smells like sex, because it would cut one of those fucking trees. It really just fills the frickin' place up.
My mouth started salivating all of a sudden.
Cum rags. I mean, you don't even need to wash those things. By the time they're done, you just throw them up against the wall. They'll shatter. They're fine.
I literally broke it in half.
That's disgusting.
I needed a second half.
Ew.
Crazy.
Oh my God, bridesmaids. There is literally semen everywhere. I picked up a towel the other day, and I literally broke it in half. I mean, I broke it in half.
Probably got pregnant, too. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right, well, listen, let's jump into some stories because we do have some stuff that we wanted to talk about on the show. We're 20 minutes in. Awesome. Time's flying. Time flies when you're on Prozac.
I'll let you know.
No pun. So I wanted to talk about, all right, cartoons, Tom and Jerry. When I say those two amazing names, Christopher, what comes to mind?
A little mouse leading to the violent murder of a cat every episode.
Trish?
Yeah, same. I just think of a cat and a mouse, and the mouse is always like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the reason why I bring that up is because this month, Tom and Jerry actually turns 78. The cartoon, someone posted on Facebook a picture of the cartoons and they're aged, right? And they're all like older, but they're still at their old antics. You know, the mouse is just really giving the cat a run for his money. But yeah, 78 years ago, in 1940, Tom and Jerry was released to the public, created by the greats William Hanna and Joseph Barbera.
Love Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, and I think that there's so many cartoons that they did. What were the other ones?
Scooby-Doo!
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo-Bee-Doo. Where are you?
Well, nailed it.
But thank anyway, you. So I...
Did they just... do the Jetsons and Johnny Quest mm-hmm. and...
Oh my God, the Futuracycle.
That what? One. Wacky Races.
No, from the Jetsons, the Futuracycle.
Yeah. Was that Rosie washing dishes or something? I don't know.
She just like makes food in the Futuracycle. Mm-hmm. It's just there like, I want a chicken. Futuracycle.
Boom. Nailed it.
I need to get me one of those.
Your fridge pretty much does that.
Almost there. Yeah, I know. I got a new fridge. It's amazing. When I think about Tom and Jerry and I think about cartoons and it brings me back to my childhood and I remember.
Well, and how long ago was that, Tom?
It was a very long time ago.
There you go. I was waiting for it.
A very long time ago. But anyway, I think about my childhood.
Tell us about the first episode.
The first episode?
Well, how, back, remember the 40s, Tommy?
Picture it. Sicily, 1912.
My black and white TV. We had two channels.
That's right.
On and off. Yeah.
And my rabbit ear antennas, because, like, you know, cable didn't exist at that time. But I do remember a time. I have my rabbit antennas now. You know, it's like, I'll get into that in a minute, but I wanted to talk about Tom and Jerry. It's like one of my favorite cartoons aside from DuckTales.
Nice.
Yeah. And, what was the other one that I liked? I liked He-Man, DuckTales, Scooby-Doo.
I still watch Scooby.
Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry, don't forget it. I'm telling you,
Silver Hawks, Races, Thundercats.
Ho!
Yeah. Nailed it!
These are all cartoons that, you know, I absolutely loved as a young child. But Tom and Jerry had a special place in my heart because no matter where I was... if that cartoon was on, I was glued to the TV. And it just brings back so many happy memories of me being a child and watching cartoons and being able to just sort of kind of lose myself from my surroundings, right? And but, you know, one of the best things about the whole thing was that, you know, it was always I always identified myself with the mouse, you know? Like you want to. And you wanted to sort of kind of feel bad for Tom. Because I'm a Tom, but Jerry was the shit. Like, he really was. And I really, really loved watching him just really outsmart this cat. Because, you know, cats are supposed to have 9 lives, and they're supposed to be very smart and very agile and blah, blah, blah. But poor Tom, man, he got it hard.
He had, like, 694 lives.
Like, pretty much.
And you remind me more of Jerry's Mexican cousin.
I will cut her.
Nobody was talking about Mighty Mouse.
Nobody was talking about Speedy Gonzalez.
No, not him. He had like another... No, he actually had a cousin in the show.
He
not
did?
Talking about him, yeah. He also had like the one with the mustache. We're like, home. I don't know, when he played the guitar.
What the hell are we talking about today?
Tom and Jerry. It's a very light and happy episode, you know? I mean, there's some stuff that we're going to talk about later, but overall, I think it's good.
Cool. Well, that was a fun fact.
I love cartoons. And you know what? To the children growing up nowadays, I think it is important. If parents, if you have access to some of the cartoons that came out in the 80s, 70s, 80s, let your kids watch them. I think that they're so good. You know, everyone's hung up on Disney right now. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But some of these like local cartoons that were, you know, created by these networks before Disney was... literally like swallowing everything up were absolutely amazing cartoons.
Meanwhile, all the parents are like, if my kid is sitting down, not talking to me, quiet, watching TV, I don't give a shit what it is.
Hell yeah.
That's true.
They can watch Static.
Or just hand them an iPad or
Saturday morning cartoons, man.
They were the best.
Download Boomerang. It's like $4.99 a month. So when I watch that shit all the time.
When I was a kid, we had this playroom, and it was attached to the dining room, but it had a sliding glass door. So, like, our parents used to put us in the playroom and turn on the TV and, like, shut the sliding glass door so they didn't have to hear us talk. And there are videos of us as a kid just, like, flush on the wall with, like, our mouths, like, open, like trying to, like, lick the wall or, like, the glass wall. And my parents were just like,
sorry.
This is so great.
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
They used to lock us up.
That explains a lot.
She had five kids. I do not blame her.
I don't blame anybody that's had anything more than one. Like, seriously. No, but if you have access to these cartoons, definitely do it. I think it's well worth it. I certainly feel like it's been an amazing thing. All right. So that being said, enough of Tom and Jerry and the cartoons, but I felt nostalgic when I saw that and I thought I'd mention and share that with you all. So do any of you guys want to talk about anything?
Nicholas? I mean, I can talk about something really quick before we go on break.
Go for it.
Do it.
So I think I talked about this before, but so there was this ad that recently popped up in my Facebook, and it was from last year. And I think I brought this up, but it's such a powerful video. I'm going to put it on the post today. But basically what it is you see gay couples walking through the streets holding hands. Mm-hmm. And then as they encounter other people, you see them let go. Or, like, out of nervousness, a door opens and their hands separate. And basically what they're trying to portray is how gay people feel when they're holding hands in public or walking down the street, right?
In love.
Whereas you see heterosexual couples holding hands, walking down the street, nothing. But, like, when you are a gay male, female, bi, transgender, holding hands, walking down the street, people may not say anything to you, but you get looks, you get stares. It's just uncomfortable. So it's almost like we're trying to create.
It's also internalized too. Like, you feel
right.
Like, you can't do that. Or,
well, literally, if I were to see a heterosexual couple walking down the street holding hands, I might glance at them, but I wouldn't right away turn away. But you walk down the street holding somebody's hands and somebody takes notice of it. It's like this knee-jerk reaction for a lot of people to just look away. And it makes you feel awkward or uncomfortable. And in reality, you're just holding the hand of the person that you love. And how long is it going to take us to get to a place in which we can walk down the street holding the person that we love's hand and not have to think about what other people are thinking about our relationship? Do you know what I'm saying, though? Because it happens so frequently. I mean, even as a gay man, when I see other gay people holding hands, I clock it, and usually I'll be like, yes, or something like that, because they are making a statement by holding hands and walking down the street. It's mm-hmm. strength that we still have to do that.
Well, I mean, to answer your question, how long is it going to be? Well, we would probably have to get rid of the entire Republican Party.
I mean, like, you're going to take it down that road, but yes.
I mean, when you think about, you know, the evangelical people and Republicans in general, not that I want to politicize your video, but, you know, that mentality is very prevalent in that party and, mm-hmm. and the people that support that party.
Yeah, but that's not even what I'm talking about. It's not about the party.
I know.
But I understand the concept where you're going with. It's like this innate has been taught through generations.
You would have to get rid of at least a half of the human population before we would ever be able to walk down the street and feel comfortable enough to not let go when someone looks at us, when someone sees us, when we see other people.
No,
it's going to be a very, very long road ahead before we would ever feel that comfortable.
What I think actually needs to happen is I think that, and this is on me as well as on both of you, I think that we need to, you know, fight fire with fire. And literally, if you're uncomfortable and you're walking down the street and you notice people are clocking it, hold his or her hand tighter.
And in theory, that's amazing and it's great. And I would definitely, if you have the willpower to do that, do it. I encourage you to do it. But, you know, for example, there are other people too that like, for I'm not a person that likes to display public displays of affection.
And that's fine.
I've never been that person, but I would damn well hold my partner's hand if it meant making a statement just to do that.
And look at the Danish parliament. I believe it was last year when they were walking out of parliament and the lawmakers were holding hands.
Mm-hmm. In support.
Men were walking, holding hands, and then business executives and just, you know, yeah. Your regular people walking down the street in solidarity with the LGBT community, showing love is love. Same sex is just walking down the streets holding hands.
Yeah. And this is why places that have a very large population of gay people, for example, the Village, the West Village in New York City, the Castro in San Francisco, when you think about places like Provincetown, or you think about what's the other one in Maine?
Bar Harbor?
Algonquin. And you think of all like Fire Island. This is why gay people love to go to these places, because when you're there,
it's your Mecca.
You don't have to think about it. You know, you see someone, you give them a big hug and a kiss and, hey girl, how are you? And you keep that shame away. And if you're there with someone that you love, you hold their hand and you walk up and down, and it's actually straight people. And I've witnessed this, that have to be on their best behavior because you're on our territory. Mm-hmm. And it is beautiful to see, to be able to walk carefree with the person that you love. And this is not just in downtown. This is all over Provincetown, like especially in Provincetown. You're going hiking or riding bikes and you want to stop and have a little moment.
Don't go off the trail.
Don't go off the trail. Yeah, there's a lot of poison ivy. And you want to kiss your lover and you sort of kind of just want to have a moment.
You don't look around. You just do it.
You just do it. And that feeling is what I would love to see for the entire spectrum of our country.
And you're so right. I think that's why those places are so special to us, because it's one place where, even though, yes, it's more accepted here in the Northeast and in Connecticut and in New York, when you go there,
it's special.
You don't think about holding your partner's hand. You don't think about kissing your partner. You don't think about playing footsie under the table at dinner. Like, you just are finally yourselves together.
The entire town caters to how you feel as a human.
Yep.
Right? When you go to City Hall, when you go to Town Hall, when you go to shows, when you go to restaurants, you know, you are treated like a dignified human being. They sit you down. They don't care if you're holding hands. They don't care if the table is all men or all women or all transgender brothers and sisters. When you go there, you feel special.
Yep.
You know, and that's why.
Is it special or just like comfortable and accepted?
My point, it's special because that really doesn't exist anywhere else.
You're right. I guess you're right. Yeah, it is a different feeling.
It's like New Haven, for example. It's a very eclectic city, right? You have a lot of restaurants. You've got a lot of people. People come from all over the world because of Yale University and et cetera. But I still would feel uncomfortable walking into a restaurant or sitting next to my lover and having a PDA like a normal straight couple would in New Haven.
Yeah.
It's never been the case when I was in P-Town. I was in a relationship for 7 years, and most of my best fond memories of my interactions with my ex were in Provincetown and being able to freely hug him. And although I'm not a person that does PDA often, when I do it wholeheartedly. I go in, you know, you are my significant other. If I want to kiss you and hold you and hug you, I should be able to do that without feeling bad. And that's what P-Town gave us.
Yeah. And I think the moral here is that, like, I'm not promoting PDA. If that's something you're uncomfortable with, that's to each their own. I mean, there are heterosexual couples that are uncomfortable with PDA. But if that's something that you want to walk down the street and you want to hold your partner's hand, do it. And like I said earlier, if you feel like somebody's looking at you or it's uncomfortable, hold their hand tighter, because they're your counterpart. They're your support. And that is how it's going to change. Just by, like I say, it's the conversations that you have with individuals. It's also the moments that you share with individuals. And that's going to be a moment you're sharing with somebody that you may or may not know.
And I also want to caution, you know, if you feel in any way, shape, or form that you're unsafe by doing so, by all means, don't do
Call Trish. She always has a shank.
She'll come down and beat someone down.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a great, you know, thing to mention, because it does happen and it happens often. But I wanted to close with this to parents. if you have an opportunity to visit some of these places that do cater to the to our LGBTQ lifestyle and who we are as a people, I encourage that you seek and visit these places, because it is remarkable to see the amount of support that exists in some of these very unique communities. For example, in P-Town, they have Family Week. Parents, whether you're straight, gay, bisexual, transgender, if you have children, bring your kids. So many activities are geared towards the inclusion of family as a unit. It's amazing. So I encourage that you definitely bring them out.
And just imagine gay men and gay women. The food is better.
Mm-hmm.
The environment is better.
The art is better.
The activities are on point.
The cocktails are superb.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little pricey in some of these towns, but, you know, it's worth the experience.
That's why there's Family Week. Mom, Dad, Mom and Dad.
But there's a lot to do. Rollerblading, bike riding.
Whale watching.
Whale watching. You can go kayaking. You can do so
many. It has a double meeting whale watching, but anyway, yeah, go on.
That's me in the water. That being said, should we take our first break? Well, our only break.
Yeah, I was like, we get two today.
Oh, special. All right, well, we're going to take a break. We'll play some music. And when we come back, we've got more stories. See you in a few.
My head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it. Somehow I'm lost in the lonely, but it's too hard to show it. Too hard to show it. Don't say sun on my shoulders, the sun's on my shoulders. My heart's a winding road, but I can't control it, and nobody knows it. Do I fall in love? 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 Do I fall?
Right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. From the break, that was Dance With Me by Davis Mallory. For those watching on the live stream video version, you probably saw me, this little fat boy, doing the little running man in my chair. It looked kind of hysterical because I was watching the playback, and I was cracking myself up. But anyway, I'm just feeling the music and loving it. Welcome back to the second half of the show. So we're going to jump into some stories that we still have to talk about. So I will maybe throw it out to Trish. For her to talk about her story, because I know she says she wants to end the show on a good note.
Yeah, and I always seem to like have things that aren't great.
But they're important. They're great in the sense that they need to be talked about.
Valid. All right, so we continually talk about how it's getting better in the LGBTQ community to be gay and be out and be proud or whatever, which it is in a way. But here we are in, what, September 2018, marriage equality, all this stuff. And this yesterday, last night in Brooklyn, two men were beaten unconscious outside of a Brooklyn gay bar. Mm-hmm.
I did read this. Do we know which bar it was?
I don't know which bar it was.
I always throw people under the bus. But it's okay.
But there were two people standing outside of a bar, and a man approached them and was saying anti-gay, sexually orientated statements, and then assaulted them to the point where they were both hospitalized. evidently, one person even, he had a fractured shoulder. He was punched in the face, suffered from a fractured shoulder. The other one was hurled against a tree, only broken finger. We need our fingers. But here we are talking about how things are getting better. And still to this day, I have conversations with certain individuals and they're like, oh no, it's fine to be gay now. And then in Brooklyn, New York, two men outside of a gay bar get gay bashed to the point at which they're in the hospital. Mind you, just a couple of weeks ago, there was two men in D.C. who were also gay bashed and hospitalized.
Well, you know, you mentioned something, and I wanted to touch base on it. You mentioned something about, you know, people nowadays saying, oh, you know, being gay is great and fabulous and it's okay. But, you know, you also have to think about the generation, right? That's seeing what the gay lifestyle is today versus what people who grew up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s experienced as far as it, you know, being gay and being out. This was very common for us back in when we were growing up. There was always a story about, you know, be careful.
But it wasn't as prevalent, though. Like, it wasn't as...
It wasn't as reported.
That's what I meant to say, yes.
So it wasn't in your face. We didn't have social media. We didn't have all these things that could instantly transmit, you know, amounts of information that, to be honest with you, sometimes we don't even have the time to assimilate. But, you know, so for those younger gay men and women or members of our community that are growing up today, this to them really doesn't faze them as much as it should. And it's very startling to see that, because for us, when we were growing up, we were like very vigilant, very, hyper vigilant per se, where we had to watch what we were doing, who we were doing it with, how we were walking, our mannerisms, all of that. We really had to have all of that on the back of our heads. And youngsters nowadays don't necessarily do that. They still do, but they don't realize that they don't realize that they should do it, but they don't have to because they think that they're in a different
right time. I mean, like, there is this like element, right? So even when I go home to visit my family, whether it's just my parents or whether it's the extended family, my mannerisms are I just clock everything that I do, right? So I'm just a little bit more aware of how I would naturally act, so that people, I guess, because this is the way we grew up, feel less like I'm throwing it in their face, because that's what people think we're doing when we're just, you know, acting as though this is my personality. This is who I've come to embrace. This is myself, and I love myself. But when you're around certain people or in certain situations, you tone that down and you scale it back because, one, you're protecting yourself, or one, you just don't want to have that conversation or deal with your family. And these are things that we as a community need to talk about and like really address, because people shouldn't feel like in Brooklyn, if you're outside of a gay bar, you shouldn't feel nervous that you're mm-hmm. going to get attacked.
Yeah.
And two men last night were put in the hospital. And same thing in D.C. I mean, these are like very, very gay,
affluent neighborhoods.
Yes,
or areas.
And people are being attacked for who they are, and I mean, being gay isn't necessarily who you are, but it's a part of your life. And if you can't just embrace it visibly and with strength and the power that we've all come to accept and embrace, like, What the fuck? I mean, this is Brooklyn. This is DC. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still not where it needs to be. People should not be attacking one another based on sexual orientation.
We were in DC as a group not too
long
ago. Oh, no,
Chris was right? Definitely in DC.
Oh, yes, he was. When we went down for the Pride March, you know, and I would have never thought in for a million years, although I've always tend to be very hypervigilant because that's just how I grew up, I never thought that I would probably hear something like this, especially on a weekend like the weekend that we went. But it is possible, and it can happen anywhere. I mean, we work at a gay bar. We could be outside smoking a cigarette, and somebody can just come by and, bow, there you go. And now you're on the floor, and God knows what not. But it is possible. But I wanted to touch on something that you had mentioned, you know, when you go, to, like, for example, to visit your family and you clock yourself and you start thinking about things that, you know, just to avoid certain situations or conversations. So my mom was in town recently. She left last Friday. She was supposed to stay this whole week, but she ended up going home early for personal reasons. But I was on my computer upstairs doing some stuff. I believe I was doing actual work for the last episode that we did on the show. And I remember saying like, oh my God, wow. And she immediately comes over. She goes like, what? What's going on? What are you looking at? And she sees my screen and she sees the guy that I'm looking at and I'm gawking. I mean, the guy was gorgeous. And she just looked at me and I literally like froze for a hot minute, right? Because these are not typical conversations I have with my mother, although my mother's very, very accepting and she loves me to death. But I literally like for a moment, I felt slightly uncomfortable at the fact that my mother was looking at this hot guy and actually agreeing with me. Mm-hmm. And she was like, "Ooh, I can see why you're looking at him."
Yeah. I mean, like how long is it going to take for us to accept the fact that who we are and who we date is 100% normal?
That's because of the expectations that society has put.
Oh, I know. I'm highly aware.
Us as a community.
But I mean, it's true. I mean, like, there's just this like underlying feeling of even though we know that this is right and we're in love and everything is perfect and you see all the positive things in social media or in media in general, we're still uncomfortable with being completely who we are in front of individuals.
And it's also still dangerous.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
So
I wanted to kick it off to Christopher. So we're three men sitting in this room, and this is why I'm kicking it off to you. So pay attention, perk up, and get ready to go.
I've been reading.
Trish is very flamboyant. I'm very borderline flamboyant. You know, we are effeminate men, if that's what you want to call it. But Christopher, on the other hand,
I'm not going to say I take offense, but
Lord have mercy. At most times when we get communications from anyone, or even early on in our shows, they would refer to you as a straight guy.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
It was. But, you know, obviously because we've been having conversations and people know that you truly are gay, but you are a gay man that's not effeminate. What are your thoughts on, like, your experiences being out and about as a gay man? Do you think that you would encounter situations like this, like Trish and I would? Because I can guarantee you we probably would.
I mean, I've never...
If you were with us, yes, but...
I've never experienced anything firsthand other than a couple of drunk Yale students, or not even Yale students, I think they were just drunk people who were having a night out in New Haven, and I had closed up the bar when I worked at York Street one night, and as I'm walking to my car, these like guys are all stumbling. They're like, "Faggot," and I was like, "Hell yeah!" And then they just started cracking up, like they thought it was funny, like they weren't actually.
So
they were just being assholes.
But see, you were closing a gay bar.
Well, right? I was in the garage at this point, so they didn't even see me coming out from the bar. So I had never personally experienced anyone attacking me verbally or physically because of my sexual orientation.
You know, and the reason why I asked this is because, again, you are very, and I hate to use the term straight acting, you're not effeminate.
I'm not, and I'm not acting anyway.
Well, I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying.
Right, no, but that's why I also agree I don't like that term because I'm not acting anyway.
You are who you are, but you're not effeminate, but you're a gay man and you're very proud of who you are and we appreciate that every day. But for you, can you really say that you would at some point in your life experience something this drastic?
I would hope never to.
Can I ask you another question though? So today when you went to the pharmacy for me and you were like, "I'm here to pick up a prescription for my partner," mm-hmm. did that make you nervous?
Not at all. One, because I was dealing with a medical professional.
Yeah.
And
what was the reaction?
Nothing.
I'm just curious.
Okay. She's like, "Oh yeah, it's almost ready." She knew I was coming. It's when it comes to professionals like that, I tend to feel that they're not going to have any judgment. Regardless if they do, they're not going to let it impair their work because they have taken an oath to do no harm regardless. So I felt very comfortable speaking to the pharmacist about it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Tell that to the two women that are accusing Kavanaugh of rape, but
well, anyway, he didn't take an oath to do no harm.
He took an oath to protect.
Did I ever tell the football story when I was walking downtown back in when I was in high school?
This sounds familiar, but
it sounds. But go for it.
So
why
I,
not?
Yeah, I used to play.
It's always nice to be reminded.
I used to play football in high school,
which I was shocked to find out.
But and I was walking down the main drag of my town where I grew up. And I was with my best friend, and somebody had a football. The group of three guys had a football in their hand, and they saw me walking down the street.
I remember this.
And they chucked the football at me. And I think they said something like, "Catch it, faggot," or something like that. Or "Doubt you can catch it, faggot." And like they chucked it at me thinking they were going to hit me. I turned around and caught it.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Ooh." And then I was like, my friend got really pissed and he started going at them. I was like, "I got this." And they were like, "Come on, faggot, throw it back." And I like chucked it back, perfect spiral, right to the guy's chest. And he was like, "Okay."
Mm-hmm. like, "Suck my hole."
Literally, "Come suck it, bitch." Yeah. And then the poop on the leaf story. But
no, yeah, we know that one. That's I always feel bad for you, but I'm so grateful to have known that story because it's so
hurtful. I still can't believe that. I like, who does that?
It was probably them because you challenged
them. No, that was college.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, that's right. You were talking about high school.
You pooped on my leaf, man.
Oh, and then they stuck it on your door.
No, they slid it underneath my door. Just trashy.
I know. Well.
And like, honestly, you don't even get it because like, if you douche correctly, there's no poop.
And they're probably doing like the whole Cinderella thing, like with the shoe. He's like, I feel like maybe he smelt this butt before. And if he smells this, he'll know who to come for. That's probably what it was. He was actually calling you.
Probably.
He was calling for
probably.
You.
Oh, God. He was probably like, you know, he said something to me the other day. He's like, "Do you want to see a magic trick?" And I was like, "Sure." And he was like, do you want me to show you how your dick can disappear?" And I was like, "Yes."
Gone.
Bye.
Bye, Felicia. So anyway, the moral of that story is that, you know, you just never know. You're never safe. Be vigilant. Have eyes around you. If you encounter a situation that where you feel like someone is coming for you verbally, physically, and that could end up in a possibility and where you're harmed physically, try to remove yourself first and foremost. Try not to engage someone physically if you don't have to. But if you must, fight.
No, yeah. Fight. I mean, it's like, it's, you know, it's interesting too, because you think about Matthew Shepard, right? He died at the hands of two men who basically tricked him into thinking he was going to have a sexual encounter.
And we're about to actually come up on the anniversary.
Uh-huh. And it's been 20 years and we're still facing hate crimes like this. Luckily, I mean, the transgender community, you have a lot of people that are getting killed. Luckily, you don't see a lot of gay men and gay women being killed, but we're still being bashed and being hospitalized. But all this being said, the work and the advocacy of the Matthew Shepard Foundation and what Matthew Shepard went through, yes, make sure you're safe. But at the same time, don't be afraid to remain visible and know that as a community, we're strong. And if people come at you, we're going to fight back and we're going to push forward. We're not going to just like sit down and take it.
I hope, I truly hope that these two individuals, these two gentlemen that were harmed are okay and that they come out of this situation as unscathed as possible.
Yeah,
right?
I think
because
they'll
this
be
is
okay.
This is something that you're going to take with you for the rest of your life, right? Anywhere that you go now, you have to worry about this happening again. You know, it's traumatic enough. But, you know, it just comes with the territory. It comes with the fact that, you know, we are a minority group that unfortunately are seen as indecent, seen as less than, we're belittled, we're beaten, we're constantly being attacked. And we just have to be strong and know that our voices are louder than any fist will ever be, and that we need to push forward and fight.
Yeah.
And hopefully these cowards get caught.
Yeah.
Because it was 5-2 for the DC attack.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to, in the Brooklyn attack, there's, before we close it out, I'm just going to say this one little bit from the article, which was brought to you by The Advocate. Some New Yorkers are calling not only for the perpetrator's arrest, but for addressing the broader problem of homophobia. We need people to take action, not just to find and arrest this one person. We need people to take action to go out and vote and make sure that we don't have people and leaders in this country that actively dog whistle against my very existence.
That is true.
So,
I agree.
Yeah,
you know who said that?
Aiden Pongreese.
So, to Aiden, or how would I say? How do you say his last name again?
Well, I'm thinking it's Pongreese, but it might be
Pongreese. Congratulations! Thank you so much for wording that absolutely perfectly, and that is the God honest truth. All right. So we're going to move on, Christopher. What do you have for us today?
Well, mine's also not the happiest story, but it's something, it's relevant, because remember when you had Tiberiu, Adrian, and Clay on,
mm-hmm.
we had them on the show talking about rights in Romania. Well, coming out a couple days ago, I believe it was on September 18th, the date was set in Bucharest. Romania set for an October 6th, October 7th date for a referendum to change the constitutional definition of marriage to a union between a man and a woman, aimed at preventing same-sex partnerships from ever being legal in one of the few EU states that still bans it. So they are moving forward with the referendum.
But the referendum that they're moving forward with is to block or
is
in
to
support?
Vote is in support of changing the constitutional definition of marriage to a union between a man and a woman.
But here's the thing. They can't do that because it was already ruled in the EU Supreme Court.
To not to change the constitution of Romania, but what
to recognize
a union that was performed in other countries in the European Union.
But right. I could have sworn that we were waiting on a verdict on a Wednesday, if I remember this correctly, when we were talking about this right around the time when Clay and Adrian came on,
right.
That following Wednesday, we had them on Monday. Wednesday,
right.
A decision was supposed to be rendered, came through that basically said that Romania was going to actually acknowledge, one, that was the case. They were going to accept the ruling from the High Court, and that somehow this would make it okay for people who were there to actually be able to acknowledge their partners. I don't think it had to do with marriage equality within that country.
No, it had nothing to do. It was only recognition of marriages performed in the EU outside of Romania.
Yeah, the Supreme that court case was literally about defining what spouse meant.
Yes.
But with this referendum, which is going on the
October 17th?
6th and the 7th, was that it is going to change the constitution of Romania to state that marriage is between a man and a woman. And under Romanian law, the constitution can be changed after a proposal by the president, the government, and a quarter of all lawmakers, or at least 500,000 citizens. Parliament must approve any revision, which must then pass a nationwide referendum. That's how their constitutional law works.
Right. So what does that mean, though? So if they have to follow the EU Supreme Court, and their court defines spouses this, how then can Romania say, well, our constitution says this, so we're not going to follow your law saying that it's between a man and a woman?
The only thing is I can think is if one
Wait,
of the...
I think I maybe I just made sense in my own head.
Okay.
So hold on. So the EU defined what spouse was.
Right.
Because that was the original language in the constitution. Now they're trying to change the language in the constitution so that it says between a man and a woman, which then negates the entire court case they just went through.
Right.
But they still have to acknowledge those marriages that took place in other countries based on UN law. Excuse me.
EU.
No, EU law. They don't.
But
they
it
don't.
Sounds like this will be their way out of it.
No, yeah. Well, they won't, because what this thing did was, what they were fighting for was, in their constitution it said spouse.
Right.
So it's between spouses, right?
Right.
And they made the choice to not acknowledge a homosexual couple. Now, what this court case at the EU Supreme Court did was acknowledge what spouse actually meant was man a woman, woman and woman, man a man. But now if they change the constitution,
but
they're
only
saying
for the purpose
no, but
of
no,
residency.
Listen, if they change the constitution, then it means it's between a man and a woman.
And they
so
would,
the
they
spouse
would be
has
going.
Been defined, mm-hmm. but that spouse word is going to be removed and they're going to place man and woman right. in that.
But
that's
remember,
exactly what
I
it
remember
is.
When we were talking with Tiberio that he had mentioned that this would only, right, this fight that they were going through, even when we were having a conversation with Clay and with...
Oh, yeah, it's only about residency.
It would only basically allow them to have rights as far as residency. It was never it was never the fight for marriage equality or for the definition.
Right.
But it's
the
first step. For marriage equality for Romania.
Right.
Of course.
And this is going to be taking it back.
Right.
Well, like most...
And which was expected.
I mean, we knew that this would happen. I just don't see how one ruling in a country is going to make something, for example, like what Adrian and Clay has, right? He was able to be acknowledged as a partner, invalidated. Right, they still have to follow EU law. They right. just can't have same-sex marriages in that country, which is heartbreaking in itself.
But they won't even have to acknowledge
they
residency.
Have
they won't have to acknowledge residency because the court case wasn't about residency. The court case was to define what spouse meant,
right.
and in the Romanian constitution,
which granted residency as a result.
Right,
but they're dropping the term spouse
right,
even
so,
at this point.
So the Romanian constitution. Said spouse, not man and woman. So now they're replacing spouse with man and woman. So the EU never ruled that said you have to acknowledge marriage between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. They ruled that you have to acknowledge this union because this is what we define spouses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And your constitution doesn't say man and woman. It says spouse.
Right.
So now they're going to change that.
I think that we're probably just going to have to see how this plays out. I mean, I still think that they're just not going to allow marriages between same-sex couples, but they would still have to comply within the laws of the European Union because they're part of the European Union. And if they challenge that, they're still going to have to jump through legal hoops and
right.
stuff before they would ever be able to legally say, no, we're not going to acknowledge you as a
it's a resident. Super shady loophole.
Yeah, and, of course.
But the thing about the referendums is it comes down to the population. The people are the ones who are making this vote. And with what it's saying here, for any referendum to be valid, a third of more than 18 million Romanians with voting rights must turn out to the polls. So this comes down to the Romanian population if they agree with this or not.
Well, they
and
have
it's an incredibly orthodox, long, conservative nation.
They have a very long road ahead of them, you know. But it's no different than you know Waffle House Kim over here defying the ruling of our Supreme Court and her state supporting her. But either way, they still had to because of the laws that were passed on a federal level.
Is it bad that I want queer as folk to not queer as folk, queer eye to go and like deal with Waffle House Kim? I know they probably never
would. What would they do to her? Like, seriously.
Put her down.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Down in, like, a cage.
Okay.
Like, in the basement.
That's not what you meant.
We know exactly what you meant. And we're not talking about Mama Kim. We're talking about Waffle House Kim, the one that denied same-sex marriage licenses to people who wanted to get married and that the Supreme Court in 2015 declared was legal, and she was still refusing to do it based on her religious convictions, which to me is bullshit. But anyway, sorry, I have a hiccup, and I needed to breathe. So we do have some other stories, mainly one I can talk about, which... Aside from what's going on in Romania or the attacks that occurred in Brooklyn or D.C., did you have something to add, babe?
Well, yeah, I just want to say one more thing before we move on to the happier stuff is I think we need to acknowledge somebody who passed away recently. Zach Costopoulos.
The Greek guy.
The Greek guy. So he was a LGBT rights activist, and he was killed on Friday in Athens. He did a lot of positive work for the LGBTQ community in Greece, and it's important that we acknowledge that he has passed on. And it was through it was a violent
yeah, he was
event.
Murdered.
He was
murdered.
He was murdered. And it was I don't necessarily it wasn't a hate crime. It was a mob attack in some way, and I not exactly sure what that means, because I don't know what the mob in Greece is like or what the culture there is like surrounding the mob.
Very anti-LGBT.
So maybe it was a little bit of hate, but, or maybe it was all hate.
All hate.
But at the end of the day, I want to acknowledge Zach for all of the work that he's done, and I would like to give him claps and tell him that we love him and thank him.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah.
It's also important to point out that the, you know, let's keep it with the happy and claps.
Go for it.
You sleep well.
Okay. All right, well, I'm jumping all the way to the Caribbean, the island nation of Cuba, which lately has been surprising many people in some of the initiatives that have been going on the island and things that are changing. They're changing so rapidly, right? Like, we remember the repression that was Fidel Castro and the fact that the island was isolated from the west, from the rest of the world, mostly because of sanctions that were imposed by the United States after the Cuban Missile Crisis, etc. But lately, we've been getting a lot of like interesting news coming out of the island as far as people's opportunities changing and things changing and progressing into a more, you know, inclusive nation as far as being able to be received by the rest of the world, right? After Obama went there and lifted sanctions and made an attempt somehow to have some sort of relationship with the island, things started changing dramatically. Of course, that was overturned and reversed by you know, Donald Trump. But that's a story for another time. What I wanted to point out is that there's a lot of things that are going on right now. Cuba, as we know, has a very large LGBTQ population. There has been many documentaries that have been created. One of them is actually on... help me out here. Netflix. It was very, very amazing, very well... created, very well edited. It was just completely amazing documentary on transgender folks in Cuba and also LGBT folks as well, gay men and women. But I happened to stumble upon one of the articles, which is written by Daniel Villarreal over at
UnicornBooty.com.
This one is really.
Not really.
Yes, it's really. It really comes from UnicornBooty.com. And so basically it says that Cuban president Miguel Díaz-Canel, for those of you living under a rock, Fidel's gone.
Where'd he go?
Raul Castro, who was Fidel's successor and brother, also has left office and is no longer the president of Cuba. We now have Miguel Díaz-Canel. He officially supports, he's thrown his support in for marriage equality. Now, when I started reading the article, I was looking at some of the stuff that was going on, and it basically stated the following. The start of same-sex marriage in Cuba could soon be at the hands of the island nation's new president, Miguel Díaz-Canel, recently voiced support for it in September, in a September 16th interview for a Latin American TV channel called Telesur. Famous legislator Mariela Castro Espín, now, the name sounds familiar. She is none other than the niece of the former Cuban leader, Fidel Castro, and the daughter of the last president, Raúl. She has been advocating faithfully for LGBTQ rights in her country, even as her uncle and her father may have not supported such endeavors. And she has been working closely with the president, the current president of the island nation, to advance a lot of the LGBTQ initiatives on the island.
I think it's important to note, though, he says in this article, I think that recognizing marriage between people without limitations addresses the problem of eliminating all kinds of discrimination in society. However, it goes on to say, Miguel Díaz-Canel, to say that right, sort of, kind of, Canal, tempered his response, though, saying that despite his personal opinion, the people will have the last word.
As with those in Romania, you know, when you throw a referendum like that to the people, there is always a possibility that you're going to get pushback. But the fact it takes
well, this is more comparable to Angela Merkel with the vote in Germany.
Right.
Correct.
So it takes, especially if we're talking about Cuba now, right? So it takes a strong individual to come out and say, like, this is not how I feel, but if this is how my people feel, I will let them choose.
Right.
Like, how long has it been since Cuba's had a world in which they had that right to choose.
It's been a very long time.
Right.
And I'm hoping that because of that, you know, systemic oppression, the oppression of not being able to voice your opinion and be your own self, that I hope that some people remember that when they go to the polls and decide whether or not they're going to allow fellow countrymen be able to bask in that new right that they are gaining with this such initiative. You know, the important thing is here is that this is coming straight out of left field. Nobody even knew that, one, the current president, or even that Fidel's own niece had a hand in supporting the LGBTQ community.
I didn't know there was a Cuba Pride.
Well, evidently that there is.
I know. And
so, you know, it's just overall to me, I see this as a very, very huge positive thing going forward. And even if they're not successful this time around, they're starting the conversation, which is the most important thing that you can do. So I wanted to talk about it and bring it to the attention of our community, because if you can reach out to those that are there and we can offer support in any way, shape, or form, whether through visibility, talking about it, making the world stage know that this is actually happening, and what can we do to help? Let us know, right? It's to me, I was shocked because I remember growing up and reading, you know, how people actually lived in Cuba and how they, you know, the government, the socialization of you know, government properties, people's businesses being taken over by the government, saying this is, we own everything and you work and you get your own share of what it is that we're going to give you. And that's how you're going to live your life. Yeah, you have your land, but whatever you're growing on it is ours. And we tell you what you can keep and we're going to tell you what you can sell. It was only but 4 or 5 years ago that, you know, the Cuban government started allowing citizens to actually open up their own businesses and privatize a lot of the economy in certain sectors to be able to change the way that they've been doing things since the 50s when Castro took the island and made it a communist nation.
Yeah. I mean, I'm reading another article now, and it's even saying here that so Cuba, it wasn't until 1979 that they decriminalized homosexuality. Mm-hmm. They, in 1965, they were throwing people, gay people, in work camps. Mm-hmm. They were also quarantining, which a lot of, actually, they probably did that here in America as well, quarantining HIV positive people as well, instead of, you know.
We definitely did that.
Yeah. But we were also trying to help people at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't think they probably weren't trying as much. But they were using these laws to literally put the LGBTQ community down in a way that they could not advance. And finally, you're seeing some forward movement. And
yeah,
did it take somebody passing on and somebody else coming into power? But that tends to happen.
Which it's usually the case. You know, you have to new, fresh mind, fresh perspective, someone who's younger and has a different outtake or perspective in life. I mean, the article even went as far as saying that if the Constitution is adopted, Mariela Castro Espín intends to pass a legislative package that would open other rights for LGBTQ people, including marriage. She confided with YAG magazine during her visit to Paris, France. We also need to also acknowledge that after the Cuban Revolution in 1959, homosexuals were persecuted under the aegis of the Castro's brothers. In 2010, Fidel Castro acknowledged that mistake and apologized. But nonetheless, it happened. And to see, again, this happening to me in a nation such as Cuba is absolutely uplifting. It uplifts my spirit because it just makes me think that, you know what, we can still see greatness happen in this world, even if we live currently in a cloud of uncertainty regarding our own situation here at home and those around the world, that there's still hope.
Yeah.
So that to me was just incredible, and I wanted to bring that to light. So we have couple more things that we need to talk about, and then we will wrap up the show and call it a day. So we've got
I just want to go back to the Cuba thing really quick. So
okay,
I'm still in this article, and I'm sorry I did not read this article prior. I read the one that you had, but then there was a link. But we were talking about America and HIV, and in the 80s, America AIDS experts actually criticized Cuba's model of incarceration based on supposed future behavior as irrational and totalitarian.
Totalitarian.
Thank you. I think America did handle the AIDS crisis a lot better, obviously a lot better than Cuba did, yeah. Even though it took a long time to get to where it was actually acknowledged and handled. So I just wanted to mention that.
Okay.
Good. No, good.
So with that being said, we've got two things that we need to talk about. The first one is the gay talk term. My
cursive is coming
cursive
out.
Cursive is kicking in.
All right. So this week's gay talk term brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Yes, it is. It's Jam Sheet. Jam Sheet is this week's gay talk term.
Wait, is it like Banji, Miss Vanji?
No, it's Jam Sheet.
Jam Sheet.
Which means shit list. Group of people who are out of favor. For an example, I don't think you should come. You're still on her Jam Sheet after your remarks about her Coco Brown living room.
Oh.
Jam Sheet. Mm.
Thank you, Trish.
Don't criticize people's living arrangements.
But honestly, though, a Coco Brown living room, we got to talk about that.
Indeed. I had a Coco Brown room. Like, as far as like the paint on the walls was dark. It was nice.
Well, at least there weren't holes in their ceiling.
No. I just think of something completely different. She is nasty.
So for our listeners who don't watch us, Chris said that, and all I did was look at the ceiling.
And there's missing tiles all over the place, but that's because we're under construction.
You know you're in a Puerto Rican's home when. I'm just kidding.
Nasty, nasty,
she's going to get
nasty.
Some nasty emails. Mm-hmm.
Guys, I might get cut tonight.
Yeah, a little bit.
She might not make it next week. If she's not here, you know why. And the video will be off for that. Just saying, because I want no evidence. But
I wasn't here.
That being said, Christopher, what do we have for On This Day in Gay History?
Well,
it is so tiny.
I know. It's weird that it did that. Okay. It, usually it's like large. Mm-hmm. Like
do
large.
You want me to show you
no, I got
like
it. I got it.
Large.
I got okay. it. I got it. So On This Day in Gay History, brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
I was like, you're not going to chim in with this one?
No.
None of them were uplifting stories. They're all like
it's
executing
okay.
this one and executing them and burning
but it happened
these people
in history, and we need to talk about it.
Exactly. I just thought it was interesting because it can be along the lines of, you know, I don't remember if anyone knows, you know, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, you know, mm-hmm. he's known to say one thing and then have people bring it back and be like, well, you know, I know he said blue, but what he meant was black.
Hashtag
or, yeah, you know,
president.
Change everything. So back in September 14th of 2007 in New York, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad claimed.
You said it wrong.
I'm not good at saying his name.
Ahmadinejad.
Ahmadinejad. I was close.
I would listen to Rachel Maddow.
I know. I always fuck up his name.
Ahmadinejad. Okay. Go
ahead. Ahmadinejad claimed.
He's an asshole.
Quote,
just go for it.
We don't have homosexuals. And then later, this was said while he was speaking at Columbia University in New York City. Later,
there was huge riots when he came to New York City.
Oh, yeah. I don't even understand why he was ever welcomed here. But anyways, an aide later says that he was misquoted and was actually saying, compared to American society, we don't have any homosexual.
Many.
Bullshit. Bullshit. We know exactly
we don't have
what
many.
He meant. You know?
It's small. I can't read it.
Just
I should
like,
have taken his word and read his.
Just like, you know, the Chechenian president.
Ramzan? Kadyrov. Ramzan Kadyrov. Ramzan is his first name, right?
Mr. Kadyrov.
That's not a mister. He's not a fucking gentleman.
Oh, God. I didn't say gentleman. I said mister.
A you know, mister. Gentlemen Mr. are called misters.
Kadyrov.
That, sir, is a rat.
You know, like his counterpart up in Chechnya, this is just the type of society and this type of individual lends itself to persecuting people for just being who they are. And I remember when he came to New York City and there was a lot of protests and a lot of things. And the man had to walk around with a security detail the size of like one of the precincts in Manhattan because of it. But, you know, it's horrible to think that this exists in the world and that this is what we look at when we think about all our brothers and sisters that are oppressed all around the world, and it is at the hands of monsters like this man and Kadyrov and other people that persecute people for just who they are and not what they have control over they can be. So.
Absolutely.
That being said, I think we're definitely going to bring this home. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Just a reminder that if you do love the show, you can make sure to rate and review on your favorite podcasting service. This helps others know about the show and ensures that it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. By subscribing to our show, you get the latest and greatest delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can also support us on Patreon. Thank you, our Patreon subscribers, for donating to our show. For those of you who don't know, Patreon is a service that allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more.
And if you give that dollar, you can see me gnawing at my fingers the entire episode.
All episode
it's
long.
Quite appetizing.
Yeah.
Yes. So next week, we're very excited to have another great segment of From Top to Bottom with Dr. Evan Goldstein.
I'm excited. I love when, you know, we have, first of all, I love listening to his voice, one. And I love seeing him when he's on with us for the following from Tales from the Tale.
I like his medical advice.
Yeah.
And also hearing about his butthole that one episode. That was nice.
Speaking of which, though. If any of our listeners have any questions for the good doctor,
yes,
please email us or send us a message on Facebook or Instagram, mm-hmm. or message him directly, because we would love to hear what you guys want to hear about.
Of course. And you can actually reach out to them on social media. That's at Bespoke Surgical on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And or you can send it to us.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So, Christopher, should I open the box?
Can we put a rubber on this, please?
Which
Thank
one?
You. As you know, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes.
Did he it just is say also gay trash?
Not even close.
Okay.
Can just, I finish?
Yeah, like.
This rubber was halfway on, and then you broke it.
That shit broke.
Exactly. I'm going to start again, and I'm going to go back to the normal voice. Alrighty, as always, our show is available on our website, gaytotalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab, right at the top of your web browser, where you can leave comments, suggest topics, you can submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host.
I'm single.
Oh, Lord have mercy. The emails
are you advertising?
In. Yes, he is. She's nasty. All right. You can also call us if you want to speak to Chris and leave us a voice message so that we can answer those questions for you on the show. The phone number for that is 334-GAY-TALK. If you need the digits, it is 334-429-8255. My mouth is very juicy tonight.
Mm.
Okay. Don't forget that we stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and also on Patreon for our Patreon subscribers. And you can access our audio live stream at digitalstreamradio.com/livestream. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you. And y'all have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.